My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Welcome to the EDP F1 podcast preview, looking ahead to Monza. I am Michael Bailey, as I've just said in that pre-recorded bit that I always forget takes place. And I'm joined once again by Perry Hamilton, sidekick Perry.
Buongiorno.
Or psychic Perry, we'll find out.
Oh, psychic Perry.
In a moment.
Nice, but yes.
That's your moniker, I think.
Yeah,
Kyle's been struggling, so...
Well, I think it might be. We might have to do
psychic Perry, I love it. So, yes, Monza then, round 12. And the second
Where
race...
Where's the time going, Michael?
The second race of the second half of the season. I don't know. Presumably it fuels Sebastian Vettel's car.
That must be what it is. That must be pretty much how it works.
And he might need it around Monza. Low downforce. Drag strip, really, isn't it, Monza?
Yeah,
I love it.
Gorgeous. Absolutely fantastic. One of the best circuits. I love the 1-2 punch of Spa and Monza, one after the other, because you've got all of those sweeping corners, you've got that speed and that power, that pedigree at Spa, and then you can just come to the raw, flat-out power and the mad, mad support of the Tifosi, who just never, ever think that any car other than a Ferrari is going to win. Even in the seasons... where Ferrari was struggling, like a few seasons back, and Fernando was looking fairly poor, they would genuinely come away with these confused looks on their faces of, I cannot believe a Ferrari didn't win. I cannot believe that our passion and shouting and just spirit alone isn't enough to fill these cars with super-fuel jet engine that no one else can get hold of. They genuinely can't understand it, and that is the mark of a real, real passionate fan.
Oh, I love it. I mean, it does feel like this is the soul of Formula One at this point, coming off Belgium and into Italy. Fernando Alonso, you mentioned him. He's got probably the best record out of those who will be running on Sunday. He has two wins with Ferrari and a win with McLaren around Monza. He could do with a win, really, this weekend, couldn't he? I mean, we normally ask this question, most important weekend for, and it might not be Fernando. I'll see who you think, Perry. But, I mean, if we're going to keep this championship alive, then we need to see the likes of Fernando winning this, don't we?
Actually, for me, this most important weekend is for Lewis Hamilton. Because we discussed previously, is the championship over? We talked about that in the last podcast. If Lewis needs to continue his charge, is he the most serious contender? This is, Mercedes power. This is made for them. We know that they are incredibly quick on a one-lap blast, and this is a very nice straight-line, strong power circuit. Mercedes are probably the most powerful team in a straight line at the moment. Don't discount Lotus, they're very quick as well, but at the moment I would say it's Mercedes, and Lewis needs to put this one away and hope that Seb comes in no better than fifth, and then really you can start thinking, oh, maybe there's a glimmer of hope here, because I mean, from here we go on to Singapore, Korea, we go around touring the East and the Far East, and that is last year that was Seb's backyard, wasn't it? I mean, he won all the races, he won all four
well
races.
It's the end of the development race as well. Once you get to Singapore, that's it, really. Those are the cars that you're going to be dealing with basically for the rest of the year. And Lewis himself, I think, said that he's giving himself until Singapore to, push for the title. And I think after that, we'll see everyone down tools, at least in terms of 2013. I think it's the most important weekend for, and I touched on this in the last pod, Lotus. They've got a major upgrade. They're going to be changing to the long wheelbase car. They're going to run this long wheelbase car for the first time in Italy. It's a key development in terms of 2014, and obviously a key indicator in the long term as to whether they can keep Kimi, whether they can be competitive next year with all the rule changes, and at the same time maintaining some semblance of a title challenge this year, because Eric Brulier has made the point they have not given up on Kimi challenging Seb. I suppose he's as likely as anyone to challenge Seb for the rest of the year, given how the standings are, but...
yeah.
We'll see how it runs out.
Well, we know the best thing about Kimi is, we know never to discount him. We talked about it all last season, consistency, and he ended up being the main challenger for the title. There or thereabouts again, is there or thereabouts is better than all or nothing, really. I just feel like I'm talking in maxims now.
Pretty much.
In idioms or what have you. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that Kimi would be my first thought when you would say to me who's contender to Seb. I wouldn't have said Kimi, but there's no reason for me to discount him. The Lotus cars are quick. They are quick cars, but they go about their business in a very quiet, dependable way. I think we were all shocked to have to see Kimi retire from Belgium, which was a real shame. But it was, I believe, some debris in his brake duct, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, possibly the visor strips.
Yeah, and that could be. I mean, that, you know, that could happen to anyone. So yeah, I would say. It is. I agree with you. It's an important weekend for Lotus.
It's going to be a very interesting one for the young teams as well, Caterham and Marussia. There has tended to be the odd race at Monza where the cars can't quite cope with the loads. So you might get a few more maybe retirements than you'd normally expect. And that could possibly do Caterham a favour.
Well, I agree with you and I disagree with you there because... Yes, it could, but at the same time, you'll usually find that the cars that can't cope with the loads are the cars that are... what's the nicest way of putting this?
Struggling.
The cars that don't have access to the higher levels of engineering quality.
Very so, nicely done. You should be a diplomat.
Yeah, so... well, I mean, they're pretty crap, aren't they? So that's basically it. The cars that aren't as well made are the cars that are more likely to suffer at circuits like this. So, yeah, we'll... we'll see, but yes, there are, and also there are people who I think the sort of the Akel Straight mentality kicks in here. I think you know what I mean by that. You get a little bit bored of just going in a straight line, and you think, do you know what? I'm not going to be stuck behind this car much longer. I'm going to try throwing it up the inside, you know, at a Lesmo, and see what happens. And sometimes that's a little bit silly, or people get a bit crazy on the straights when they're trying to overtake each other, and it, you know, it happens. Let's be honest, but. Yeah, that sort of Akel Straight mentality.
They certainly. I'm loving the Norfolk references in these pods. It's great stuff. Yeah, it's Caterham still behind Marussia in the battle for 10th and all the money that brings. But a 13th place finish for Caterham would do the trick, quite possibly. So that will be what they'll be aiming for, providing their poorly engineered cars can get through. I am, of course, being flippant. Nothing is poorly engineered in Formula One. It's very much all relative. Now, it's time for us to predict what's going to happen. It's just the two of us for this one.
Okay.
So we're laying ourselves on the line, much like we've done. We are the ever-presence of this season's prediction league for us. EDPF1 pundits, you are infinitely more successful at this than I am over that period of time. But let's get through some of the past predictions, shall we? Because we had Hungary.
Yeah, let's do that. I want to see how
I don't even know if I can remember what the results were, to be honest, but I know what we predicted. You said that Lewis would be on pole, which he was. He said he'd win, even though Lewis didn't think he would win.
I had the faith.
And he did win, which is fair enough. Ricciardo top 10, which didn't happen, and Raikkonen on the podium, which did.
I had a cracking Hungary.
So you had a very nice Hungary indeed. Marussia to finish ahead of Williams, that didn't happen, sadly. I said that Williams would get their first point, which did happen. I said that a Red Bull would be on pole, which didn't happen, and a Red Bull win, I said, which didn't happen. So for the mockery of that being a really, you know, easy prediction, it didn't actually come true.
No, it didn't. Just and saying, I would like to point saying. Out, as a man who does not welch on his bets, I bet Michael £5 that Marussia would score points before Williams in reaction to that prediction.
£5.
In a very mocking way, I abused him for such a ridiculous prediction that Williams were nowhere near scoring points, and it happened. So I apologise profusely, and I'll pay you at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There will be money coming your way at some point, Michael.
I will wait.
We will tweet a photograph of me handing over. can we do that? Is that legal? Is that allowed? That's legal, isn't it? That's not. Okay. If it's not legal, we'll hand over a promissory note. But if
we'll get
legal,
a drawing.
Yeah,
we'll get a sketch.
But yeah, you'll see it happening.
Love it. DT said that Hamilton Lewis would be on pole, which he was in Hungary. Vettel would win, which he didn't. Webber would be on the podium, which he wasn't. Ricciardo would be in the top 6, and he didn't manage that. And Hülkenberg would be in the top 8, which he didn't manage either. So a bit of a hit and miss for DT and Hungary. Kyle said Vettel pole. Nope. Raikkonen to win, which didn't happen. Webber P2, which didn't happen. Alonso P3, which didn't happen. Grosjean P4, which didn't happen. And Vettel not in the top 4, which also didn't happen. Kyle, blank.
He's fallen the from Oracle, grace, the Oracle, hasn't
he? The Oracle I think. Is cracking.
This is why he's not here. He's gone off to, like, stand under some kind of waterfall in Japan and get all zen.
I think there's a bit of zen
so that he
going
can
on.
Centre himself.
A lot of zen. We had John Luton in as well. He said Hamilton would be on pole, which he was right. Hamilton would finish outside the top six, though, which, of course, didn't happen. Ricciardo P4, which he got kudos point for, John, but no actual point. And Alonso to win, which didn't happen either. So it's all right from John. So then we move on to Spa. Now, I am in a rare feat of organisation, if you like. I got people to email me their predictions as pundits. I went for, and I emailed this to all of you so you knew what it was, a Vettel win, which I scored on, but a Hamilton no podium, which I didn't get, Alonso to finish outside the top five, and a Perez to beat Button, which all didn't happen. The Alonso outside the top five, that was Kimi until I changed it to Alonso. I couldn't work out which two was less likely. I picked the wrong one in the end. Ped, you said that it would be a Red Bull 1-2, which it wasn't.
Now, do I at least not get, like, half a point?
No.
For a Red Bull win?
No.
Because surely I said a Red Bull would come one and two. It came one. So surely I get some points for saying that I knew a Red Bull was going to win the race.
I thought you were looking eagerly at my list.
I knew a Red Bull was going to win the race because I knew you'd stiff me on this and I knew you wouldn't give me a point for it.
But well, you wrote Red Bull 1-2.
Yeah, but I knew a Red Bull would win the race. I still feel I deserve some kind of points for that.
I will have a think about it over the Monza weekend and see how we get back to next weekend. Because at the moment, you're miles ahead at the top anyway, so don't worry too much.
Never stop. Never lift.
I've said mine. Kyle went for a Webber win, a Hamilton podium, a Vettel podium, and Verne top eight. So Hamilton and Vettel podiums obviously get something for those. And John had a blank one, I'm afraid. Hamilton to win, Raikkonen P2, Vettel DNF, I mean, if only, John. And McLaren, two McLarens in Q3, something that Perez let John down on there. So after 11 rounds, Ped, you are miles ahead with 68.3 points in our prediction table.
Worst two first.
DT is second on 46.4. Then I am third, purely through the fact that I've done a lot of them. Kyle is fourth. And then we've got Jack and John bringing up the rear. So that
how are the kudos points working out?
Kudos points. Me and you both have five. Again, probably just through regularity more than anything.
Not sheer bolshiness of the calls.
I think early on I was, but I think I've let my mask slip on that. I haven't given away one kudos point in the last two rounds.
I think we're all becoming quite conservative. As it gets down to the meat and potatoes,
yeah, exactly.
I think
we need the points. Forget the kudos points.
I think we care more now.
We need points. So it's me and you. Monza predictions. What ye say?
I think he's going to go. I think he can do it again. I think we're going to get Hamilton on pole, and he's going to win. Pole and win for Hamilton in Monza.
Like it.
Alonso second. Don't know where. I have no idea where he's going to qualify, but he's going to come second. So I'm going to do that, and I'll say Grosjean top four.
Like it.
That's my, I'm going to keep it sweet and simple.
Okay.
I've included a Ferrari in there because it's Monza. So Hamilton pole, Hamilton win, Alonso second, Grosjean top four, which basically means he's either going to come third or fourth, as far as I'm concerned.
I like it. Nice and solid. I will probably go for an Alonso win.
I like that.
That's
playing to the home
break
crowd.
I think
every single Italian person listening to this podcast has just gone crazy.
Yeah,
they've just gone
it's my
crazy.
My own tifosi.
That's it. The Micosi.
Very nice. Now, it's a tricky one because he did win there last year, you see. So to double up is...
But if anyone can do it, it's Fernando in the love-powered car of Ferrari around Monza, just with the joyous rainbows of power and energy that are flowing into him from his ravenous fans.
I love it. Problem is, it's difficult because I think Mercedes are going to be really strong, and I think Nico will have a very good weekend. I'm not going to predict him, though. I think Vettel will finish third.
Okay.
I think he'll definitely be on the podium, and I'm going to put a number on it and put P3.
Okay.
I also think Paul de Restre will be in the top five.
Wow. That's big.
Because I think he's been unlucky the last few races, and that car is not slow.
He is the world's unluckiest Scot. He is. He is.
I would like to know who's up in the running.
What, against him?
Yeah. Other famous unlucky Scots. Can't think of any off the top of my head, but...
Robbie Burns?
Yeah, I suppose he was quite unlucky.
He was a bit unlucky, wasn't he?
Mary, Queen of Scots, she...
Yeah, she suffered, didn't she?
Yeah.
So see the historical figures that we are talking about.
Mary, Queen of Scots
in the same
Paul de Resta.
That's exactly it.
So there we go.
Whoever said we're not relevant?
I love it. Well, let's hope we can both steal a march on our competitors then, Ped.
Well, that's exactly it.
Otherwise, we should just not do it if it's only us.
That's it.
All right, then. Well, we all have the latest lines from Caterham and Lotus and what goes on, of course, in Italy at edp24.co.uk/F1. Follow us on Twitter as well, edpf1. We'll have podcast links, my column links, all the news and fun and games and shizzle on there, all sorts of stuff. We're on Twitter too, of course. I am at Michael J. Bailey, Ped.
I'm at PedHD56.
And we will be back post Monza to assess the fallout, damage, debris and highlights. All manner of good fun. Hopefully more highlights than on Sebastian Vettel's head.
Yeah.
Which would be nice. And hopefully we'll have a few more in the crew to discuss all those matters. Until then, have a lovely time with it, Ped.
Oh, you too, Michael. It's been a pleasure. It's nice to be back.
It is nice to be back. Back in the swing. Until then, until Italy, enjoy Monza. We'll see you on the other side. Goodbye.